Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We have come to day 178, and we are in Leviticus 25, and we're actually going to have 3 days in a row of readings from Leviticus instead of two. So just to give you a hint of what's on tap for us this week, we've got Leviticus 25, 26, and 27, and then Psalms 30 and 31, and then Proverbs 7. And this is also the week when I am heading to Uganda on a missions teaching trip with three other men from our churches in our area, our PCA churches in this area. Looking forward to that. Would appreciate your prayers this week as we travel. We are leaving tomorrow, Tuesday night, and we will be arriving at the campus of Reaching Africa's Unreached Thursday evening, June 30th, and then we will begin our training of about 48 men from Uganda, South Sudan, and Sudan on Friday, July 1st. And again, would very much appreciate your prayers over these coming days. Right now, let's pray and dig into Leviticus chapter 25. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, which is life to us. You give us in your word truth. Truth that shows us yourself, truth that shows us ourselves, and truth that shows us your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So speak to us through Leviticus 25 today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus chapter 25. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its fruits. But in the 7th year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what grows of itself in your harvest, or gather the grapes of your undressed vine. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. The Sabbath of the land shall provide food for you, for yourself and for your male and female slaves, and for your hired worker and the sojourner who lives with you, and for your cattle, and for the wild animals that are in your land. All its yield shall be for food. You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property, and each of you shall return to his clan. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce of the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his property. And if you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another. You shall pay your neighbor according to the number of years after the jubilee, and he shall sell to you according to the number of years for crops. If the years are many, you shall increase the price, and if the years are few, you shall reduce the price, for it is the number of the crops that he is selling to you. You shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. Therefore you shall do my statutes, and keep my rules, and perform them, and then you will dwell in the land securely. The land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell in it securely. And if you say, what shall we eat in the 7th year, if we may not sow or gather in our crop? I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, so that it will provide a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating some of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the ninth year, when its crop arrives. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land. If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. If a man has no one to redeem it, and then himself becomes prosperous and finds sufficient means to redeem it, let him calculate the years since he sold it, and pay back the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and then return his property. But if he does not have sufficient means to recover it, then what he sold shall remain in the hand of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. In the Jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his property. For if a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, he may redeem it within a year of its sale. For a full year he shall have the right of redemption. If it is not redeemed within a full year, then the house in the walled city shall belong in perpetuity to the buyer. Throughout his generations it shall not be released in the Jubilee. But the houses of the villages that have no wall around them shall be classified with the fields of the land. They may be redeemed, and they shall be released in the Jubilee. As for the cities of the Levites may redeem that at any time the houses in the cities they possess. And if one of the Levites exercises his right of redemption, then the house that was sold in a city they possess shall be released in the Jubilee. For the houses in the cities of the Levites are their possession among the people of Israel, but the fields of pasture land belonging to their cities may not be sold, for that is their possession forever. If your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner, and he shall live with you. Take no interest from him or profit, but fear your God, that your brother may live beside you. You shall not lend him your money at interest, nor give him your food for profit. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. If your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you, you shall not make him serve as a slave. He shall be with you as a hired worker and as a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. Then he shall go out from you, he and his children with him, and go back to his own clan and return to the possession of his fathers. For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him ruthlessly, but shall fear your God. As for your male and female slaves whom you may have, you may buy male and female slaves from among the nations that are around you. You may also buy from among the strangers who sojourn with you, and their clans that are with you, who have been born in your land, and they may be your property. You may bequeath them to your sons after you to inherit them as a possession forever. You may make slaves of them, but over your brothers, the people of Israel, you shall not rule one over another ruthlessly. If a stranger or sojourner with you becomes rich, and your brother beside him becomes poor, and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner with you, or to a member of the stranger's clan, then after he is sold, he may be redeemed. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle or his cousin may redeem him, or a close relative from his clan may redeem him, or if he grows rich, he may redeem himself. He shall calculate with his buyer from the year when he sold himself until the year of the Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall vary with the number of years. The time he has with his owner shall be rated as the time of a hired worker. If there are still many years left, he shall pay proportionately for his redemption some of his sale price. If there remain but a few years until the year of Jubilee, he shall calculate and pay for his redemption in proportion to his years of service. He shall treat him as a worker, hired year by year. He shall not rule ruthlessly over him in your sight. And if he is not redeemed by these means, then he and his children with him shall be released in the year of Jubilee. For it is to me that the people of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I bought out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. All right, that is Leviticus chapter 25. And it's a beautiful chapter, and then it's also a troubling and confusing chapter as well. So God is talking about the need to give the land Sabbath rest every 7 years, and then he's also proclaiming the year of Jubilee every 50th year. And the principle, very simple, very straightforward. Every 7 years, they were to leave the land alone. They were not supposed to reap or gather in. Even if there are crops that grow up by themselves, just leave the land alone. Let it have a complete rest every 7 years. And God says he'd provide enough crop in the sixth year that they would have enough to eat from it, not only in the sixth year, but also in the seventh year and into the eighth year, and even have some left over in the ninth year. There's a principle behind this. Now, we don't keep the Sabbaths of the land anymore. This is one of those Sabbaths that the Apostle Paul says are no longer in effect in Colossians chapter 2. However, there is a key principle at work here, and that is, do we trust God to provide for us, and will we be obedient to his word and trust him to provide by being honest, by being hardworking, by not stealing, by faithfully tithing, by giving generously to the poor? Will we be faithful with the use of our money, trusting the Lord to provide for us? Or will we think, oh, I've got to get what I can while the getting is good. I've got to hoard up my wealth. I'm not going to give it away. I've got to do what I can to protect it and grow it. There's a way to handle money that is trusting in the Lord and living according to biblical principles of tithing, generously giving, sharing with those who are in need, trusting in God to provide. And that's what we should get from this. The year of Jubilee and the restrictions set on slavery among God's people should let us know that God does not will for any of his people to be in absolute, abject poverty. And that when we live in a system that removes from the poor the means of being able to earn a living, because that's what land represented. Land represented a path to self-sufficiency, a path to be able to work hard, cultivate the land, grow something, and be able to sell it. For the Levites, they weren't given land. They were given houses inside the cities because their work wasn't the work of agriculture, but it was the work of serving in the temple and of teaching God's people the law. And so they were given houses. But you don't take from someone everything they have and reduce them to abject poverty so that they cannot have any means of being able to support themselves and their family. But rather, indebtedness should be limited in scope and in time, and there should be laws to limit, you know, the level of destitution to which people can be brought. So this teaches us that God values human life, and God values human work and productivity, and God values human beings being able to work to provide for themselves and for their family. Now, throughout the ancient world, slavery was widely practiced. Every society practiced slavery. And so God allowed for levels of slavery. They were never allowed to own slaves among the people of God because they all belonged to the Lord. But they were able to buy and sell slaves from the neighboring countries, and those people would have been bought and sold as slaves. The number one reason why someone would be bought and sold as a slave in the ancient world is if they came into debt, and they needed to work to be able to pay off that debt. And you see rules that are being put into place for how much you make someone work and what sort of compensation you give them toward working off their debt. In other words, you were not allowed to be harsh and oppressive to them. The Ten Commandments established that on the Sabbath day, all the servants would have a day of rest as well. So you can't work them to death, you can't oppress them, and you have to basically compensate them for their time according to the wage of a hired worker and allow them to pay off their debt at that fair rate. You can't cheat them, and by saying, well, you know, you only get 50 cents for working today because I had to feed you and I provided you with housing, and so this debt you're going to have, it's going to take you 50 years to pay off. You can't do that. You have to treat them with equity and with fairness. And I think this sets up principles for us to live by. You know, the Westminster Confession says we don't keep the civil laws of Old Testament Israel, but we do learn general principles of equity from them. And some of the general principles of equity that we can learn from Leviticus 25 is that God values human life. God values caring properly for the land that we're given. God values human freedom and dignity and work. And that God opposes the oppression and the absolute destitution of the poor. Ultimately, everything we have comes from God and belongs to God. And that theme is woven throughout Leviticus 25. All of our wealth, all of our opportunities to work, all of our property, it comes from God, it belongs to God, and so we should honor God with how we use that. Ultimately, King Jesus is king over his people within the church. And while we are subject to human civil authorities, and Jesus is not a civil authority on earth, for those of us who follow King Jesus, he does hold us accountable to treating others the way we would want to be treated, to loving our neighbors as ourselves, to respecting the dignity and the value of human life and human labor in all of our dealings with other people. We are to honor God because we have been redeemed and we belong to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for redeeming us, even at the cost of your Son, who gave himself up for us all, that he might bring us back to you. Father, help us to honor you with how we use our wealth, how we spend our time, how we treat one another, how we live our lives in this world. Make us good and faithful ambassadors of King Jesus, so that the world may see what you are like through the way we live our lives. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's day 178, Leviticus 25. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we will be in Leviticus 26. Hope you can join us for that. And I do hope, as always, that you have a very blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.